What have we seen in terms of short and long-term side effects and complications from radiation therapy for rectal cancer?
Well, I think if you look at the large randomized studies, is that the incidence of the long-term side effects of complications of radiation in terms of bone, muscle, nerves, bladder, intestine is about 1%. So I emphasize to patients that even if the therapy is done correctly, we will have about a 1% incidence of long-term complications. The other significant long-term complication is bowel function. And this is something that we as physicians don't really talk about as much as we would like to. There's the complication of a low anastomosis just from surgery alone. Patients have a lot of difficulty with frequent bowel movements. And especially when you add radiation to a low anastomosis, those are the patients with the highest incidence of bowel dysfunction, which is one of the reasons why we prefer to use preoperative therapy, because if a patient does have surgery, has positive nodes, and has a coloanal anastomosis, that's the patient with the worst bowel function of all.
Any new approaches to patients like that in terms of trying to ameliorate it?
There are some investigators who have used IMRT, or intensity modulated radiation therapy. A few investigators throughout the country have started to look at this as a way to try to reduce complications, but once again, we do not yet have data to show that that's more beneficial. And I think that there are very simple techniques that radiation oncologists can use to try to reduce side effects that are well described in the literature that virtually any good department would be able to do, such as using three-field techniques, blocking the perineum from the radiation field, and also designing the radiation so there aren't individual spots within the pelvis that have much higher radiation doses called hot spots.
What do we know about quality control nationally in terms of, you know, what surgeons can expect from the radiation oncologist across the country, small, large centers?
I think that the larger centers are probably doing a better job because they are looking and peer reviewing, although fortunately is that many of the national groups, such as the RTOG, or Radiation Therapy Oncology Group, have really increased the overall quality of radiation as individual radiation oncologists are forced to put patients on protocol and send their films for peer review to that. And I want to emphasize, just like surgeries, that even in large centers, there are good people and ones that aren't quite as sophisticated as others. And there can be a small practice that produces very high quality radiation. The nice thing about radiation oncology quality control is that you can see it. It's very clear. You review the port films, you can see the simulator films, and very quickly tell whether things were included or excluded correctly.
Any sort of clues that a surgeon can get in terms of, you know, the kind of, I don't know how to put this exactly, but the type of radiation oncologist who might be more effective? Are they more compulsive? Is there sort of a theme to that?
A good question, but I don't have a good answer for you, because historically, radiation oncology, very few people outside of the field really did understand what the details were. So the question you're really asking is, how can you tell whether you do or don't have a radiation oncologist who functions at a level that may decrease your complications and has good techniques? Very difficult to know. I think that probably the way that I would approach that is, as our surgeons learn more and more about the field of radiation oncology, to ask the radiation oncologist, you know, what technique do you use? What fraction size? How do you do things? And if a radiation oncologist is very willing and engaging in that conversation, that's usually a good sign.
You know, in prostate cancer, we hear with urologists trying to do their own personal series and generate their own data. Do you think that's something the radiation oncologist should be doing for rectal cancer?
People do it, but I want to emphasize there's always a built-in bias when you read a paper that says, rectal cancer, my personal series of 100, and it's usually they're highly selected. And I think that although the individual that does treat a lot of patients should be able to share their information with others through books or publications, but I always look with suspicion on those series.